that's the story that we're going to be looking at, the story of the lost son. Probably most of you have heard that story before in various forms. And we're going to have a little look at it again today. Just put your hand up if you thought it was a nice story. Anyone think it was a nice story? Not very many people. Okay, that's better. Okay, so most people think it's a nice story. Hands up if you were really quite offended by that story. Okay, no one. Oh, one cheeky person at the back. In fact, when we hear that story today, it feels like quite a nice story. It's about a son going away, realizing his mistakes and being welcomed back into a loving family. In fact, when Jesus' audience heard it 2,000 years ago, they would have been really offended. They would have not liked it. It would have made them very angry. This is a story that's in the Bible, but it didn't really happen. Okay, it's a story that Jesus made up to make a point. There's two points he makes that we'll find out about as we go through. But his audience was made up of two kinds of people. Okay, so on one side, there were Pharisees. And Pharisees were like priests, I suppose, or politicians. They thought they were pretty good. They thought they were the most important people in the country. They thought they pretty much were perfect. Okay, so they thought they were excellent because they kept all the laws exactly to the letter. Everything, all the rules, they followed it. They were perfect. They thought they were great. And the other half of the audience were sinners and tax collectors. Okay, tax collecting was a job that you could only get if you were willing to cheat, because otherwise you didn't earn any money from it. And so everyone looked down on tax collectors and the other kind of bad people in the eyes of the Pharisees. So those are the two people in the audience that he was talking to when he told this story. And so he's trying to talk to both of them and make different points for both of them. So we're going to find out what those two points are. There's one point for the Pharisees, there's one point for the tax collectors, okay? One point for the people who think they're good, and one point for the people who think they're bad, okay? So one people think they're good, one people think they're bad. We're going to look at the story and find out what that means. So that video inspired me. We're going to do some acting out, okay? So I've got a box of useful props, which we'll use. Okay, so in the story, there's a few different characters. There's a dad and two sons, first of all. So I need three people who would like to do. You don't have to say anything. Unless you want to, you might get the opportunity. But we need someone to be the dad who would like to be a dad. Okay, yeah, you can come and finally have your moment to shine. That's good. Got a dad beard for you to wear. So you get to be up here, but no one will see your face. So if you just want to stand over this side a bit more, because otherwise they won't be able to see behind that. Okay, you can try and put that on. Or it might be quite itchy. And then we need a younger brother. It can be a girl. Girls can play younger brothers too if you want to. Anyone? Okay, do you want to come up and be the younger brother? You can have the lovely shirt. It's delightful. There you go. Okay, you can put that on. And then we need an older brother. Any girls? No girls. Oh, girls don't like it. Okay. Have another boy, okay. You get to be the older brother. This is your farm hat, okay? That's for working on the farm with. Okay. So, it's in the Bible, so I'm going to read it from the Bible. It's in Luke chapter 15, if anyone wants to follow it in their own Bible. Just find the page. Okay, so it says, now the tax collectors and sinners, which is all of you guys, hello. In fact, let's divide you up. Which side thinks they're good? Put your hands up and think you're good. Oh, more on this side. Okay, you guys, you're the Pharisees. You guys, you're the tax collectors. Sorry. The tax collectors were gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. Can I hear you mutter? That's this side. Oh. I'm getting carried away. Okay, these guys are getting annoyed because you guys have come to listen. They don't really like to be in the same place. That's why we've got such a wide aisle down the middle, okay, keeping you apart. It's just safer that way. And Jesus saw this crowd. He saw these guys muttering about these guys, and he told this story. There was a man who had two sons. Give him a little wave, man. Give him a little wave, two sons. Oh, look at those lovely waves. Do you want to stand nearer the front as well? And then it's a bit more, whoa, advancing. The younger son... Actually, the older son, you go off and work in a field over there, please. Go and do some farm work. Bless you. You go do some farm work over there. Okay. This is the farm work. That's great. And the younger son goes to his father and he says, Father, give me my share of the estate. Wow. Look at that miming. That's amazing. Oh, Excellent. Now, to us, that's what it sounds like. When you say, Dad, give me my inheritance. If I went to my dad and said that, he'd probably be a little bit frustrated, a little bit annoyed, and he'd write me a cheque for about £15, probably. But that's how it would happen, isn't it? You would do a bank, you might even do it online, but you would basically write a cheque and off I would go with my half of the inheritance. In those days, they didn't really have the same sort of financial system. And so what he would have had to have done, you would have gone to him and said, Dad, can I have my inheritance? And you would have gone, yeah. But what you would not have done is given him actual money. So what would have happened instead is that the father would have had to go out, he would have had to cut his land in half, he would have had to put half his animals on one half of the land and half his animals on the other half of the land. He would have had to divide his property exactly in two and sold the other half to give the money to the son. So it's actually quite a big job that would have taken quite a long time. It's a lot of effort. It's not just as simple as saying, right, I'm going to write this check, don't come back. It's, I'm going to spend a lot of time, a lot of effort dividing everything in half and selling it to someone else in order that you can have the money that you want. And even more than that, older brother, come to the front. I want to see the grumpiest face you can do. That's pretty grumpy. Because the older brother would have been even more annoyed than the dad. Because under the laws of the time, the older brother, his inheritance was everything. The younger brother's inheritance that he was entitled to was nothing at all. So when the younger brother comes up and says, give me my inheritance, what the father should have done under the law is given him nothing at all and kicked him out of his house. Instead, he divides it all in half because he loves his sons. The older brother, extra grumpy. Let's have the grumpy. Brilliant. Extra grumpy because he's lost half of his own inheritance. So he goes back to the field, go and do some more grumpy working over there. The father gives over the money that he's managed to spend ages having to raise and sell off his land and all of that. Oh, that's a brilliant face. And then you can go sit on one of those chairs for a minute. Right, younger son, you just stay there. And so already the Pharisees in the audience are getting a bit frustrated because usually in the stories of the time, the father represented God. And God would never behave like this because that's ridiculous. God would never break the law. He would do exactly what the custom said. And those who did the right thing would be accepted and those who did the wrong thing wouldn't. And they knew that the law said, if your son does something like this, you kick him out and you send him on his way. But the father did not do that. So they're already starting to get annoyed. So the younger son, off you go. You just walk to the end and back while I read this bit. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. Okay, so we're going to act out some squandering of wealth in wild living. Who would like to squander some wealth? Girls? Oh, girls do want to do this one. Okay, Gracie, that's good. Bryony, fine. And I need one more. Anyone? Okay, you can come up. All right. I didn't really have the right outfits for this. So we're doing some viral marketing instead. This is the advert break. If you are age 5 to 11, and you are free in the summer holidays, we're doing a holiday club. Can anyone guess the theme of our holiday club?
Vikings.
Vikings. I don't think that's working. Vikings is the right answer. So we're looking at Vikings. It's going to be really exciting. There's going to be games and beards and pointy hats. And it's going to be really good fun. If you're in that age and you're in one of the uniform groups or you come to junior church, then you will get one of the flyers and you can book for that for the summer. But in the meantime, can you just go stand with the girls? Sorry. It's hard when you're that age to have to stand next to girls. Okay. Right. Go and squander your wealth with them. What does that even mean? Right. What would you like? What would make you happy? Let me see. Hang on. Right. Got a moment to think. What would make you happiest in the world? A tongue? More time to think?
Chocolate.
Chocolate. Okay. Can you buy her some chocolate? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Go and buy some chocolate. There's only pretend chocolate. Here you go. Here's some pretend chocolate. Oh, my script away. Don't eat it. Okay, how does that make you feel, having lots of chocolate? You just happy. Said it would make you feel happy. Good, good, okay. And Bryony, what would you like?
Party!
A party, can she have a party? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, how does it make you feel having a party?
Tired.
Tired. That is pretty much the case. And have you thought of anything that you would like?
Books.
Books. Can you have some books? That is really wild living, buying books. And have books made you happy?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. You can hold that a moment, because I need my hands back. Okay, so he spent all his money on buying his friends everything they ever wanted. But now, do you know what's happened? You've run out of money. Okay, no more chocolate, no more books, no more parties. How do you feel now, guys?
Upset.
Okay. So what they did was that they left him behind. They threw their hats on the floor so I don't have to collect them later. Not too hard, though. And off they went back to their homes. And how do you feel now, younger son? Oh, not even a word for it. It's so sad. After he had spent everything he had, he wasted it all. There was a famine in the land and he began to be in need. So he had no money. So he went and he hired himself out to a farmer of that country. Who wants to be a farmer? Who's not been a farmer anything yet? Anyone? Come on then, Henry. Okay, this is a bit more authentic. It's not really, it's a tablecloth. Okay, great. Okay, you look just like a pig farmer, that's brilliant. Okay, I'll have that again. Okay, can you send him to work feeding your pigs? Just say, go over there. Go over there, great. Okay, they look like pigs, they can be, yeah, that's good. Yeah, the story so far, I put the pig on his head. It's not very good at this job. Okay, just feed the other pigs. That's lovely. The audience listening in on this, this is how they expected things to go. They're a little bit shocked by the beginning where he was given some money in the first place. But now what's been proven is the younger son can't be trusted. He's a naughty man who's spending all his money, who's wasting it all. Everything that his father's given him, because he's abandoned his family, he's wasted it all and ended up right at the bottom. And a lot of the Pharisees in the audience would probably have assumed that would be the end of the story. And the point of the story is, listen to your dad. Do what your dad says. Anya, do what your dad says, okay? Oh, I've got to look for that one already. She's only four. Okay. But that, actually, is not the point of the story, okay? So, pig farmer, you can sit down. That was all you needed to do. Very good. The younger son came to his senses. Which is a great phrase. And he said, how, you won't have to say this, you can just, brilliant. It's like a puppet, it's great. How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out, I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. Do you want to go all the way down there and all the way back? Okay, then you can stand here. Actually, just stop at the back because I'm going to have another explanation. Okay, so, again, the expectation of the audience is he's going to try and come back to his dad and his dad's going to say, you blew it. No more second chances. It's all over for you. Go back to your pig farm. Let's see what happens. I've lost my place. Okay, so he got up and he came back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and ran to his son. Run. Threw his arms around him. And kissed him. Okay, that's close enough. And the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Okay, so this is a really shocking part of the story. And for us, it's lovely, it's hilarious. But actually, in those days, that's not what should have been done. You should have just sent him off. You should have said, no, don't come back, it's too late. You should have done the click, that's good. Instead, not only does he welcome him back, but he's actively out looking for him. He stood on his porch, staring down the road, wishing his son would come home. That is the sign of a weak father who's not doing the right thing. Or on the other hand, if you're this side of the audience, if you're the tax collectors and the sinners, that is the sign of the kind of father you wished you had. Because a lot of these people may well have lived through something very similar to this story, that they'd left their homes and come to the city, that they'd ended up in the job that they really hated, like being a tax collector and working for an army that's oppressing you. They've ended up in the situation that the younger son found himself in, and when they've gone home, they've not been allowed to stay. They've been sent back, or they've not even thought about going home because they know that their father will follow the law, will not respond, will not welcome them back. So this side getting more and more angry, this side starting to be really interested. And then it gets even more interesting. So it kind of might have been okay if when the son had said, I can't be your son anymore, but could I work for you? Because it's better than being in a land where there's a famine. Then maybe that would be nice. That would be the sign actually of a father who's kind of loving, but still following the rules. But in fact, the father says something else. He said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. Already got the best robe on, that's fine. Put the robe on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. Okay, let's see a celebration. fantastic. And that's brilliant, isn't it? The father is so happy that his son is back that he throws a massive party. He gives him clothes, he gives him food, and they have a celebration and a great party, which is fantastic. And the great thing I love about this story is that it's not because the son has come, because the son is not because of anything the son has done that the father welcomes him back. All the son has done is accepted an invitation to come back to the house. That's all he's done. The father has been looking for him. The father has been waiting for him. The father has loved him through all the mistakes that he's made. And there's quite a long list of mistakes that he's made. But the father still loves him, still welcomes him back, and still gives him a fantastic party for that moment. But that is not the end of the story. Sometimes when we hear this story told, we stop there with the party, which is a nice ending. There's actually a bit more of a not so nice ending. Okay, so you can just carry on dancing over there. Brilliant. but then the older son, you come in from the fields. You're still quite grumpy. Brilliant. And the father, you see your other son out here, and you come out to talk to him. When he came near the house, the older son heard music and dancing. So he asked one of the servants, what's going on? And the servant said, your brother has come back and your father has killed the fattened calf, which is like the best thing to eat in the world, because he is back safe and sound. The elder brother became angry. Ooh, it's like the Incredible Hulk. The elder brother became angry and refused to go into the party. So his father came out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders, yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property, comes home, you kill the fan calf for him. The older brother is angry, and justifiably angry. If you're this side of the audience particularly, you're thinking, this guy, he's not worth anything. He's disobeyed the rules. He's disobeyed his family. He's ruined it all for everyone. But the older son comes down. He's been working faithfully in the fields. He's been working hard. He's been doing his best. He's been doing what his father said he should do. But he's never even got to have a party. What the problem is here is the reasons that the older son has for doing the things that he does. He's not been out in the field working hard because he loves his father. He's been out in the fields working hard because he wants what the father has got. He wants the property. And that's why he's grumpy, is because the father's already given away half of his inheritance to his younger brother. And now, surely, he's going to end up giving away half of his remaining half. So that's, a quarter of his inheritance to his younger brother again. And he's come back. And yet, he's not been kicked out. He's not been welcomed. And this older brother is grumpy and angry and frustrated. And the father says to him, my son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Now, technically, that everything I have is yours is true, isn't it? Because he's already given half of what he had to his younger son. So everything the father owns will now go to the older son. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And that's the end of the story. So we don't know what happens to the older brother. Does he go into the party? Does he stand outside doing the grumpy face? Probably, because he's the older brother and that's what they do. We don't know. But what we do know is that the younger son accepted the invitation and got to go to the party. The older son didn't accept the invitation and was stood outside. If you just want to sit down, thank you. Give him a clap. We'll just finish off. How's your itchy face? That's good. Thank you. Just stick them in the box. Thank you. Brilliant. All right, you can't keep that. That's my favourite shirt. It's an interesting story, I think. And sometimes it's called the story of the prodigal son. Sometimes it's called the story of the lost son. It's actually, I think, should be called the lost sons. Because both of the two sons are making mistakes. Both of them are going about things in the wrong way. The younger son decides to live for himself. He decides he wants independence. He leaves his father and he goes and he abandons him. But then he comes back. The older son has abandoned his father just as much because all he wants is his father's money and his inheritance. And he thinks the best way to go about that is to do good, to do as much hard work as I can, to keep on toiling away, to get what he wants by being good. The younger son tries to get what he wants by being bad, but both of them are doing it for the wrong reasons. Neither of them is loving their father. Both of them are causing him to be disgraced. Are you having trouble with the buttons? Oh, the buttons have come off. Okay, well, that's fine. It's not really my favourite shirt, so that's okay. Okay, great, thank you. Both sons are going wrong, and this is the message for the audience. So you've got the younger brothers over here. The tax collectors, the sinful people, are like the younger brothers in the story. They have wandered away from God. They have wandered off and lived lives and done things they wish they hadn't. They've got tons of regrets. They've made many mistakes, and they want to change their ways. So Jesus is telling them in this story, the door is open for you to be forgiven. The door is open for you to come back to God at any time. He's out there looking for you, waiting for you to come back to him. All you have to do is say yes, because he's there, he's ready, he's welcoming. And then he's got a message for the older brothers, which is a lot more difficult. It's a challenge, isn't it? For those of us who've been in church for a long time, who've grown up through church, who are religious people, we have a way of being that is about being good. We have an idea of ourselves that says we're good people, we're moral people, we do what's right. But doing what's right on its own is not what God wants. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to love him as much as he loves us, which we can't ever do, but he wants us to do things out of love for him, not out of duty, not out of responsibility, not because we feel like we have to, because all that ends up causing is resentment. And actually we're thinking, do you know what? I pray every day. Why isn't God answering my prayers? Or I come to church every Sunday. God owes me this much. In fact, the things we do, we're doing because we love God, because we love to do those things, because God has made us a certain way. And the Pharisees, again, would be really angry. They would be outraged because the father has behaved badly and he's not supposed to. The father has welcomed back the younger son and he's not supposed to. And they would see themselves in the older brother. The older brother who doesn't get to go to the party because he's too proud to accept the invitation. He's too angry. He's too selfish. And so he doesn't get to join the party. And the challenge for us today is kind of the same. Whether we're far from God or near to God, whether we feel like we're part of church and we're active, whether we've never been to church before this morning, whatever our standing is, the door is open. The Father is ready to welcome us in. Whether we have been good all our lives or bad, whether we're proud of our history or ashamed, the door is open and the party is waiting. We are able to join that party. We are able to be part of the celebrations that God throws for us. We just need to accept that invitation.